Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning, and is a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton from 2SER 107.3 in Sydney, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning and policy, from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Disturbing images and stories out of the US, Ed. Kids being separated from families as part of the Trump administration's new border policy. You've spoken previously about how the US maintains the right to make sure people aren't entering the country illegally, but surely this is going too far.
This is going way, way too far. There's almost nobody that's for it. There are a few people that say, well, law needs to be obeyed. But no one wants 8-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds away from their parents. That's a crime against humanity, and the U.S. might well be accused of a crime against humanity. I want to talk a little bit later about the U.S. dropping out of the Human Rights Council of the U.N., but this is certainly a crime against humanity. Now, the parents did cross the border illegally. The people are seeking asylum. They are not there as escaping from a border torture or something. They're actually seeking asylum. So as asylum seekers, under the U.S. Constitution, they have rights. And those rights include everything associated with a fair trial. Now, when you separate my children from me, you're not giving me a fair trial. That's insane and ridiculous, and many people want it stopped immediately.
It's interesting you mentioned the letter of the law in that one because, well, the Trump administration, some members of the administration have been claiming they are merely following the law, even though there is no law to speak of. This family separation policy is purely an administrative policy. Somehow Trump is blaming the Democrats for that one, and it kind of suggests he might be willing to keep up, well, the horror until Democrats are forced to come to the table on issues like the wall and such. What's your take on that?
That's exactly right. What he's doing is using this to pillar the Democrats and say they're responsible for this because the law does not say what you do with the children. So since it doesn't say what you do with the children, he's saying this is correct. Because if you're incarcerated for an illegal activity, your children in the United States usually are put with some other member of the family. But these people are not incarcerated. They are actually awaiting trial. And that does not happen in any other criminal procedure. While you're awaiting trial, and this happens particularly to mothers, they have their children with them, usually in a situation where they're in a home. So there are these homes, halfway houses and homes, where they can be kept while they're waiting trial. That's the humane way to do this, if you want to separate them from the total population. So this is a total fiction. He is trying to drive a wedge here. This wedge would get the Democrats to vote for a bigger amount of money for the wall and vote against very much of the repatriation of the young people who do not have U.S. citizenship. So this is what he's trying to do. And with some people, it may be working, but with very few.
And following the criticism, all this criticism over these policies, Trump has announced the U.S. will withdraw from the U.N. Human Rights Council. Us here in Australia, we can't really point fingers too much. We've been abusing refugees' human rights for years now against the protests of the UN. Now, although it does follow these criticisms, even from the UN, the main reason cited for leaving was actually a perceived anti-Israel bias. What's your thoughts, Ed?
Well, let's go back to the children's issue. One of the reasons they're trying to get out of the Human Rights Council is they know it'll come up there. And the United States will be accused of a violation of human rights and international protocols. So they're using the Israel deal to justify this action and get away from the possibility of being accused of violating human rights. The U.S. has been summoned before the Human Rights Council more than once. Guantanamo Bay is an excellent example of that. The death penalty, another example of this. So the U.S. fears the international condemnation that might come from something going up to the consul. So this has nothing to do with the U.S. wanting to withdraw or to protect Israel, for my God's sake. So Israel has had so many violations of that, we can't even count them. So that's what this is. This is a protection, a backdoor protection of the U.S. being accused with taking the children away of a human rights violation.
And just one other thought on that one. A few people have said this is the final nail in the coffin for the UN Human Rights Commission in terms of their legitimacy, their credibility with the US pulling out. I mean, there's been criticisms of the body before. There are a whole bunch of member states that have accusations of human rights violations against their own people and such. The US withdrawing from it, what do you think it means for the council itself?
Well, it means is that everybody's on their own now. That human rights don't mean anything now. So the gulags and things can continue. Mr. Trump has not been a very strong supporter of human rights of any kind. So I think this is damning for the United States and for the Human Rights Council. And whether it can ever resurrect itself or not, I'm not sure.
And I also wanted to get your thoughts on this one. Since 2016, Trump has been claiming over and over that besides winning the election, he also won the popular vote because of a whole bunch of make-believe voter fraud, illegal voters in favor of Hillary Clinton. A recent poll has shown over 50% of Republicans would be willing to postpone the 2020 election on Trump's say-so if Trump said it needed to happen, the postponement needed to happen to clear up this supposed voter fraud. I don't think the postponement's necessarily going to go through, but it seems like another example of Trump undermining this trust in American institutions like the bodies that control democracy or legal bodies like the FBI.
Well, all that is true, and there's been two reports on the FBI that's come out that don't put the FBI in favorable light on everything. But 90% of it says the FBI has been doing the right thing. What this is all about is undermining all the institutions. And by undermining the courts and these institutions, it would allow him, in dictatorial fashion, to take control of the institutions. And that would include the courts. The courts have already opined on this. He cannot do anything like that. Remember, he tried that commission. The commission failed because the courts, including the Supreme Court, said, this is not a legal action. You can't do this. He doesn't want to be part of anything that tells him what he cannot do.
Now, the Russia investigation, as we were speaking about a couple of weeks ago, Paul Manafort, Trump's former campaign manager, in prison. You thought spending some time in a 6x8 cell might sober Manafort up a little bit and make him that much more likely to flip on Trump. What's the thinking now?
Well, I think there's some truth to that. But Trump is still offering the pardon. And as long as he offers the pardon, Manafort will say, well, maybe there's a chance for me to get out scot-free. If I don't flip, I can get out scot-free. I'll have the pardon. But what he hasn't calculated is all those charges are also before state courts. So he might get out for a minute, but then he'd go right back under the state courts. It's smarter for him to say, I'll tell you all I know, as everyone else is doing, than face this. And I would suppose they're not giving him the best room in the inn.
Similarly enough, Michael Cohen facing sort of scrutiny over payments to porn star Stormy Daniels. He's hired a new lawyer, and some reports have claimed he's signaling a willingness to air some dirty laundry. Cohen looks a great deal like a consigliere to Trump over time. Could be some juicy stuff?
Yes, definitely. Cohen is out to save his own neck, and he'll do anything he can. When people change their lawyers, it's generally because the lawyer would face a conflict because he's supposed to represent his client, and he can't represent his client under the grounds that he was representing before. If he changes the grounds, then new lawyers are necessary. And these lawyers are in place not to defend you, but to make a plea deal. And that plea deal will include him telling some stories out of school, as they say. Cohen is a very good witness. He kept very accurate notes. He also recorded a great deal. That's why the FBI was anxious to get his telephones, anxious to go through his offices, because it was well known to protect himself. He recorded and wrote, took notes at the end of almost every meeting. So he can tell some real juicy stories.
And just a final word on the Russia investigation. We've seen FBI agent Peter Storzik escorted out of the FBI building. He was escorted out by other FBI officers as part of this investigation because he had made some private comments, private text messages saying, "We'll get Trump out," essentially, way back when. The Mueller investigation seems to be continuing to run a very, very tight ship. Really no room for these kinds of unforced errors, I guess you might say.
Yeah. What the president is trying to do is discredit the organization. But the organization is fighting back in an interesting way. They're fighting back with truth. If this is the truth, we'll go for it. So now you have to be ready to go for the truth as well. So I think Trump has gained fire with fire. These institutions will survive over time. How will Trump survive? And we're in a very, very difficult time now because he doesn't have many other avenues. Now that he's done the North Korean thing, he doesn't have anything else up on the boards that people want to keep him for. And the more he does on the trade issues, the more he comes in battle, not just with foreign allies, but internally. Because if steel is embargoed or the price goes up, American workers suffer because they work on bending that steel into American purposes. It would take years to reopen those steel mills. Furthermore, the steel mill is probably owned by some American investors. I think Trump now is playing with real fire. He's pissing off the establishment.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER 107.3 in Sydney. To help support the work we do, head to 2SER.com/donate. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.